This is Money Talks.
Is Money Talks.
Atlanta's longest running, most respected money show on radio.
All right. Well, we got a few questions here. We've got Marcia from Marietta. Says, I would like your opinion on two stocks, CSCO, which is Cisco, and BMY, which is Bristol Myers. I hold both in my IRA. Cisco has a huge loss, and Bristol Myers has a small gain. Should I continue to hold these stocks or move the money into another stock? Also, what are several good stocks to consider for the long term? Nick, I think you took care of this one.
Yes, and Marcia, I'll be honest with you, not a big fan of either stock. So we'll start with Cisco. They're the world's largest supplier of high-performance computer networking systems. They make routers, switches. And we haven't been fans of Cisco for quite a while now. The stock's returned just 1.73% annually over the past 10 years. So you compare that to the S&P 500, which has returned about 8% annually. In the company's latest earnings report, they reported an 8% decline in revenue. Earnings were down. If you look at the stock on a valuation basis, it does look cheap at first glance compared to the technology sector. But if you look at Cisco compared to its own historicals, it really doesn't look so cheap. One of our biggest problems has been the CEO, John Chambers. He's been running the company for about 20 years now.
You say running into the ground?
Pretty much. Yeah, that's what I'm getting to. So it seems like even when Cisco does have a decent quarter, beats expectations, he talks the stock down. So he'll give a gloomy outlook.
Right.
And it's been so volatile finding coming off of earnings releases, following earnings releases, what I try to say, it's been down about 7% on average. So it does meet our criteria for investment, but because of the valuation and really the person running the company right now, we'd prefer to stay away from it.
Yeah, and we actually owned it not long ago, and the thing that's strange about some of that is it's very frustrating to watch a stock that has, you know, it's a leader in its industry, and yet it has decent earnings, and then the CEO talks the stock price to the ground after earnings.
Right. The one, I guess, upside you can say to it is it does have a nice dividend yield. I think it's between 2.5% and 3%. So for a technology stock, that's pretty decent.
Yep.
Yeah, it's because the shares haven't moved.
Yeah, no kidding. They got to do something to keep shareholders somewhat happy. Bristol Myers Squibb, the other stock you asked about, global prescription drug maker. Drugs include Plavix, which is a blood thinner, Abilify, which treats bipolar disorder, and Orencia, which is for rheumatoid arthritis. The company's been selling some non-core assets, kind of restructuring, refocusing on being just a pharmaceutical company. And just plain and simple, it looks too expensive right now. Trades near its highest valuation on record. And they've been seeing earnings and revenue and earnings fall recently after their two top-selling drugs, Plavix and Avapro, have come off patent. On a PE basis, it trades at an almost 50% premium to the industry, the pharmaceuticals industry. So we'd prefer to stay away from it. Now, the last part of your question was, what do we recommend for long-term holdings?
Right.
So I guess as a replacement to Cisco, if you wanted to sell, two of the names that we like are Qualcomm and Apple. Both companies are expected to grow faster than Cisco is, and they look cheaper on a valuation basis. And then for the healthcare sector, two companies we like are Aetna and Celgene.
Yeah, I'd stay local. I'd also look at maybe a UPS because we've talked about it. You see a lot of retailers struggling right now as Amazon and other internet-based companies are selling more and more goods. And who's going to deliver those goods?
Absolutely, like
a UPS.
Yeah, e-commerce will ultimately benefit transportation, we believe. Had another question as well. Joshua Sizemore from Hiram asks, I'd like to invest in Polaris Industries. I know you've recommended Harley-Davidson in the past. What's your current opinion on these two?
Well, if I had to pick one, I'd say Polaris. It offers better growth prospects and a more diversified portfolio. While Harley-Davidson, it's the king of making motorcycles, and they make some of the best motorcycles on the planet and offer a lot of various merchandise to go with the bikes. Polaris manufactures a better variety of on-road and off-road vehicles. They manufactured all-terrain vehicles or ATVs, snowmobiles, motorcycles, and given the winter we just had, I would assume snowmobile sales were quite brisk.
Yeah.
Then Polaris shares also, they are a little more expensive to Harley's. They trade about 23 times earnings versus Harley's, which is about 20 and a half times earnings. But if you factor in their growth prospects, Polaris is cheaper. Polaris is expected to grow its earnings about 17% versus Harley's 12% rate. And in terms of return on equity, Polaris is about twice that of Harley, and they also employ a significantly less amount of debt.
Again, we've got a couple of questions, but if you want to know how to get in touch with us, you can email us at drgene@hensler.com. It's drgene@hensler.com. So, guys, we got a question here about government bonds. Are they risk-free?
Yep. Andre Kading from Stockbridge. Are government bonds risk-free?
Well, generally, they're deemed risk-free because they're backed by the full faith and credit of the federal government. So most investors feel that their money's pretty safe and the U.S. government's not going to default.
Right, free from default risk.
Correct.
Right.
Although, as we've seen in the past couple of years, when we faced a government shutdown, there has been some questions as to whether or not the government could possibly default on some of their payments. So
yeah, especially
you've seen interest
rates
spike up in the short term.
Yeah, when you have all those debt ceiling debates and everything.
Right.
With interest rates having remained in the cellar for what seems like an eternity, what do you think the biggest risks are with investing in government bonds?
I'd have to say interest rate risk, because what you're facing now is what we expect in early, mid-2015, the best we can make out right now from the Fed's comments, is for them to raise interest rates. And when that happens, the effect on bonds is going to be for prices to come down because of the inverse relationship.
Right.
So, a lot of people are concerned about having maturities on their bonds so far out that as soon as interest rates do pop, they're going to be more interest rate sensitive, and you're going to lose a lot of the principal value on those bonds. Now, if you're holding to maturity, you really don't have anything to worry about. You're still going to get that amount back at the maturity date.
Yeah, you can also avoid some of the interest rate risk with the new floating rate bonds that the Treasury's put out. They basically reprice. It's a bit of a complicated concept, but they reprice when interest rates go up, and you get the benefit of the new higher interest rate. You also have the risk of inflation.
Sure. So that kind of eats into the yield that you actually realize. You may have a yield on a bond of 3%, but if inflation is 2%, your real rate of return on that bond is only 1%. Inflation's eating a good portion of that return.
Right. And if inflation were to kick up beyond that 3%, you're not going to get the adjustment unless you have a Treasury inflation-protected security or a Series I bond if you're buying them direct.
Mm-hmm.
So they do have some securities that'll adjust with inflation.
Yeah, so we have interest rate risk, we have inflation risk. Now, we all know the Fed is cutting back on its monthly bond purchases, what everybody calls the taper. So has that had any effect on yields right now? Are we seeing yields move higher because they're purchasing less? I mean, I would imagine that would be the case.
Then that's what you would expect, and that's what we expected. But you've actually seen interest rates continue to move lower. As we've talked earlier in this segment, we're 2 weeks off of the lows for the year, and the Fed has cut the taper, the bond buying, by, $40 billion? And we still haven't seen an uptick in interest rates, really. So it's kind of been on the contrary of what we expected.
Yeah. Well, economic situation probably had a lot to do with that. A negative 1% GDP rate in the first quarter didn't help for sure.
Exactly. It's funny that we're seeing rates move so low and the stock market move higher.
Right.
They're buying a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Nick, as our head fixed income trader, how have we tried to counteract the risks of a rising rate environment?
So the best thing we can recommend you do is you stay short on your maturities. Right now, we're not purchasing anything further out than 5 years. Because you're going to be less interest rate sensitive at that point. You want to keep your maturities, your duration short, so you're not as sensitive to interest rate movements.
Right, and a lot of times, in most cases, we buy yield to maturity anyway, so we're going to hold the bond to maturity, and we know what price we'll get at the end.
Right.
Yeah. Well, guys, I think we'll stop here for a quick break. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.